Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It is a verse with which many of us are so familiar that we need not even read it, but I will. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, I want us to ask a couple of different questions about this verse. It seems straightforward enough, but there are things to be learned from it. The first thing I want to ask is, who did the creating? The second thing I want to ask is, what did he create? And the third thing I want to ask is, when did he create it? And then I would like to address a few heresies that are associated with this passage. The first question, who created? The answer is God, Elohim. And he created, the Hebrew word is bara, to go with the Hebrew word Elohim. God created. Now, who is this God? We can know several things about this God simply from this passage alone. It's very interesting that with just two words, God created, we know something about him. The first thing we know is that God is masculine. The word Elohim is a masculine word. It's not a feminine word. It's not a neuter word. God is never described in a feminine way in the Bible. Now, today there are some who would call God feminine. There are some who have even gone so far as to change the pronouns in their Bibles so that they can make God into the image that they want him to be in. But we understand from the language itself that God is a masculine God. Now, what does it mean to be masculine? That is something that perhaps we don't know right off the top of our heads right from the beginning, having read only one verse of the Bible. But we'll see what it means to be masculine as we study through the scriptures. And so as we uncover the masculine identity, we will uncover at least a shadow of the image of what God is and who God is. So the first point is that God is masculine. The second point is that God is plural. Now, does this mean that there are many gods? No, it doesn't mean that there are many gods. You see, Elohim is a plural word in the Hebrew language. But bara, the word meaning created, is a singular word. It doesn't refer to a multiple people creating. It refers to one person who has created. And so, interestingly, in this very first verse, God is presented to us both as being plural, but also as being singular. Some would say that this is a stretch too far, that we don't necessarily want to take the language to mean this, but I do take it as a sign of the Trinity, that this is a triune God, that he has both a plural and a singular nature. He is not polytheist. He is not plural, that there are multiple gods. He is not modalist, that there is one God who takes on multiple forms. He's both plural and singular. He is a triune God. Now, we don't have any hint of there being three in this passage, but we do have the plural and singular elements represented here. So, from just these two words, we understand that God is masculine and also that God is plural. In addition to this, we understand more when we realize that he has created the heavens and the earth. Having created the heavens and the earth, we understand that this God must be all-powerful, that he must be all-knowing. The heavens are vast. The earth is large, but it's a speck of dust compared to the heavens. That word heavens in the Hebrew is shamayim. And throughout the passage, we see shamayim coming up again and again as God is creating. He puts birds in the air. He puts the starry hosts into the heavens, into space. And so this heavens includes not just the arc of the sky that we see above us, but the entire universe. The first thing that God did, he created this space, this expanse of a universe, and he created an earth to go in it, putting the earth at the center of his creation. So we understand that we have an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God who understands all of the depths of the heavens and who has power to control all of them. This is not the God of the ancient pagan world into which the Bible was originally delivered. The neighbors of the Israelites who would have read these scriptures for the first time were pagans who worshipped many gods, gods of rocks, gods of war, gods of the harvest, gods of fertility. There were many gods who were in conflict with each other. But this is not like those gods. This God is one God who has power over all things, over the entire universe and all that is in it. Romans says that this creation is sufficient to teach us about who God is. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 20 says, "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So the point there is that all people can know and do know that there is a God. Some will deny this truth, but their denial will not register with God. God will not look at them on judgment day and say, "You had an excuse because you didn't believe in me." He will look and say, "Why didn't you believe in me? Because of the things that have been made." Many humanists have attempted to discount the creation by talking about evolution and the Big Bang theory and things of this nature, a different version of cosmology and biology than the Bible presents, and we'll talk about that more as we go into Genesis chapter 1. But ultimately, the creation is what points forward to God, and there is no rationale for denying God and his nature. They may not know everything about God, but you cannot deny, looking at our creation, that a God exists. So this tells us who God is. He is powerful. He is all-knowing. He is masculine. He is plural. He is divine. He is greater than anything that we are. And he has created something that is incredible. What has he created? The heavens and the earth. The heavens are not only a vast universe. You see, there's a lot of thought that has to go into creating a universe like this. The Bible says that wisdom was with God in the beginning when he began to create. And so God has created not only a heavens and an earth, but he's created wisdom itself. God is above our rules of logic. God has penned our rules of logic, and in doing so, he has laid the foundations for the universe. God created physics. He created the minute, the tiny particles that we can't even see and comprehend today with our massive projects, with our electron microscopes and our centrifuges and our large hadron colliders. These things cannot reveal to us the tiniest of things. These are forces of physics that are beyond our understanding, these weak and strong forces that hold together the atoms, as well as the vast cosmology that underpins the universe. These rules of physics, which we can't even understand, God created in this moment with a word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he's created all of these things from nothing. Ex nihilo is the Latin term that was used to describe this in ancient times and still today by theologians. Ex nihilo means of nothing. God created this universe from nothing. There was nothing but God before. And so in the beginning, when he created it, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was nothing before the heavens and the earth except God. There was only God. This was the beginning. This is when it all starts. And that's what the Hebrew word means. There is no reason for us to believe, looking at this word, that there was anything else that we should speculate about that God created before the heavens and the earth. This leads us to a question about infinite regression. It's a term which maybe you've heard before. It's sometimes colloquially called turtles all the way down. The story goes that a woman once told a theologian, "You have a very interesting theory about creation in the world, but the world doesn't work the way that you think it does. The world is simply sitting on the shell of a turtle's back." And the theologian said, "Well, that's a very interesting theory. I've never heard it before. But what is under the turtle?" The woman said, "Well, he's just standing on the back of another turtle, I suppose." And the man said, "Well, that's very interesting. What is that turtle standing on?" And she said, "Oh, you think you're very clever. But the reality is that it's turtles all the way down." Some will begin to make that argument with God. They'll say, "Is it God's all the way down? Is there another God behind God who made God?" Well, no, there isn't, and there's an explanation for this. You see, those with a scientific, humanistic cosmology believe that the universe was created simply by itself, that physics created itself, that atoms and matter created themselves, and that there was some kind of big bang and everything just exploded out of nowhere, and that's where our universe came from. But someone must have made those physics. Someone must have made those atoms. You see, all the things that we see in the universe today, we recognize have a beginning and an end. Our theories of entropy tell us that the universe is winding down, slowly growing away and fading, that it's a constantly losing energy into the void. See, even the humanist has to recognize the universe is coming to an end, and the scriptures tell us that as well. If we're to consider the end of the scriptures, for instance, if we are to look at Revelation, we'll see that there is going to be an end to the world. We understand that there's an end to all living things, that everything dies, that we will die. We have been built with an understanding that everything begins and everything ends. And that's what we see in our universe, beginning and end. And so we naturally come to a thought and say, what about God? Surely God has a beginning and an end. Surely someone must have made God, right? But that's wrong. God is the only infinite. God is said to be eternal, that he is from days of old. God is beyond our comprehension of time scales. He's beyond our understanding of life as we know it. All the things that we see are coming to an end, and all the things that we see have a beginning. But God is something completely different. Hallelujah. He's something completely different from the matter of this universe that we see ultimately coming to an end and fading away. God is the infinite. And it must be that something infinite is at the beginning. You see, anyone might have a problem in whatever theory they believe with turtles all the way down, unless they believe in some infinite force which created the universe. And that infinite force is God. The universe bears marks of intelligent creation. It could not operate the way that it does if it sprang from nothing. So we must conclude that an infinite God, an all-knowing and all-powerful God, has created the universe, and that he's created it from nothing. I'd like to address a couple of errors which are made by cultic groups concerning this verse. First off, the Jehovah's Witnesses, we know, believe that there are multiple gods. They believe that there is a Father God who created the universe, and then a lesser God, Jesus, who was with him at this creation. But we can't understand that. We know clearly that the Bible says there is only one God. And this is not something that we would ever fall into, believing that there are multiple gods whom we should worship. So the Jehovah's Witnesses are clearly wrong there. The Mormons also are a polytheistic religion. They believe that God had a father who was his God. They believe that God was a man who named Elohim, who in his old age was a good man, and so ultimately he became the father of the universe and of many spiritual babies and created his own planet. Well, there's no reason to believe that. This creation is the beginning. There are no prior gods to this God who created him. And this is evidenced by the creation, his creation of the heavens. God created the heavens and the earth, which includes space and the stars. What planet was there that this Elohim that they speak of grew up on? It's not really a question that can have a good answer. You see, the Mormons believe that they themselves will become gods after this life, and that they themselves will create their own planets. But that idea is lacking because there's no beginning. Because it's not the beginning if you came from another planet to create one of your own. And indeed, this passage does not teach this. God is the creator of the heavens, all of the span of the heavens. There was no former planet on which God lived. We also understand from the scriptures that Elohim is not a proper name, as the Mormons assert. You see, the Mormons say that Elohim is the God who created the universe, and Jesus was his spirit son, a man who became a God who took over his own planet, and that Jesus' proper name is Jehovah. So they have two gods, Elohim and Jehovah. But even this breaks down. We look at verses like Psalm 110, which says, "The Lord says to my Lord," now that first Lord is Jehovah, translated for English, and the second Lord is simply my master. This is David's master that we're speaking of, David's master being Jesus. And Jehovah says to Jesus, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Of course, we know Jesus quoted this passage in the Gospels. But it's interesting, if Jehovah is talking to Jesus, then how is it that Jesus is Jehovah and his God is Elohim? Well, that doesn't make any sense. You see, Jehovah and Elohim are one God. Jehovah is the proper name of God, and Elohim is simply a word meaning God. You can look on a resource like blueletterbible.com, which I strongly recommend. It has great study tools that will show you the Hebrew words in this passage. and the original language for any verse in the Bible. And you can look at those words, and you can even look at every instance of those words as they occur in the Scriptures. And I will say to you that if you do that, as I have, you will find that Elohim is not the proper name of God. There's simply no translating it that way. This is an error. So then in this one verse, we've learned a great deal. We've learned that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that what he created was vast and large, that it goes far beyond the simple physical things that we see and think about on a regular basis, and that he created all of these things from nothing, that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, masculine, and that he is a trinity, that ideas about multiple gods are already discounted here in the very first verse of the Bible, and so are some of the cultic groups like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. We've seen that God created this universe in the beginning, and that he is the only infinite, and that that is the only philosophical possibility for the creation of the world.